Okay, it's October 27th, 2022. Ward Green here. It's 12:37 hours. I'm Ward Green. I just got my boots from two different manufacturers, Merrell and Danner, and they both arrived within a fairly short space of time. So I got the Danners first, by the way, but I tried them on, and then the Merrells, well, I was still trying on the Danners. The Merrells arrived. So I'll talk about the Merrells first, okay? Because they're my brand loyalty. That's the brand that I've owned one pair of Merrells, I believe, only one in the past. I did have a pair of leather hiking boots that were full-grain leather. They looked like the old-fashioned ski boots. Years ago, I had those. I don't know what happened to those. Whether I even still have them, or I'm just not sure. Well, you know, they'd be in a box in the basement. If I had them, they'd be in the basement. But I just feel like they weren't comfortable, or there was some reason why I didn't wear them after some point. I don't recall wearing them out anyway. But, I mean, they should have been comfortable. I remember them being comfortable while I was wearing them, but I don't remember them being comfortable after they were in the box in the basement or wherever they were. I just don't remember what happened to them. So that's not much of a story for those boots, but they were beautiful leather. That's what I wanted to say. They're just beautiful full-grain leather. These are not full-grain leather. They're just strips of suede leather with fabric in between. This is the Moab 3 hiking boot. It's a beautiful, it's kind of legendary. It's one of the well-known hiking boots in the world, and also it's well-known that Merrell makes it. It's a Merrell. It's a men's size 8, U.S. size 8. And when I tried these on, they fit right away. These fit perfectly, so I have 2 feet, obviously, but I have two different size feet. That's what I mean to say by 2 feet. I got 2 feet in that sense. My right foot's smaller, so when it fit, I thought, well, that's great, but what if the left one is going to be too tight because my left foot's a bit bigger? Always has been. I think that's because I jump off of my left foot or some reason. I'm not sure why it's bigger, but that left foot is bigger. The other thing is I have very narrow feet and I have very high arches. So it's very hard to find. There's a lot of varies in there. I have very high arches and very narrow feet. It's very hard to find. There's the three varies again. Very hard to find shoes that really fit me. So I knew that. But I knew I'd owned Merrells before. So that's a reason for brand loyalty, right? But also I knew that the size that I had before was size 8. There's another reason. That I could just get the size 8 and say, well, probably going to fit because they fit before, you know. And as I read online, you have to research it because sometimes the company might change their sizing. But from what I read online, Merrell has not changed their sizing over the years. And we don't know that because, you know, they probably switched. They almost certainly now manufacture in China, so that must have changed somehow. So how did they keep the sizing the same? That's the question. But they evidently somebody thought they did. So anyway, whatever it was worth, I thought I would rely on that rather than something else. We never rely on anything in the same way that we rely on our faith in God and Jesus and the resurrection and all of that and the ransom. It's not the same as relying on it. Those are the things we want to rely on. If we want to rely on anything, it's those things. But, you know, it's a relative reliance. If I had to choose which to rely on more, I would choose, I did choose, you know, to rely on the people who said that Merrell had not changed their sizing. I believe that. And it turned out that when I can wear these right out of the box. Perfect, you know, they're perfect. I don't have to add an insole to them, nothing. No, the Danners are not the same, okay? The Danners, I knew there was some issue about the Danners. those marrows, I may want to add an insole, maybe a very shallow insole, maybe an arch support, or I might want to. They feel very comfortable, considering they're just out of the box. And I just wore them and walked up and down the hall once, and I said, yeah, these will work, you know. But my heel's not slipping. That's the other. When you try, I'm going to share with my children, all my children, whatever size they are, I'm going to share basically everything I know about buying shoes is what I want to share here, or all the important stuff. One thing you need to check for sure is, does your heel slip? You don't want your heel to slip when you walk. You want the heel to stay latched, locked. I'm going to show you the Danners. Here's the Danner. I'm wearing that. Well, I can't tilt that. These are the Danners. I just put them on, right? Okay, they're full grain leather, and they have it's not a high boot, but you know, it's a boot. It's a boot. It's not a low cut. It goes up on the ankle. Now, the heel in these, because I bought them as a size 9, and it was recommended by Danner that I buy size 9. They recommended size 9, but even though they recommended size 9 for me, for that boot, that was based on the fact that I entered the information about my ASICS size 9. That fits me, and that's a running shoe that I bought, right? I told you about that already. So based on that, he said these should be size 9. Danner said these should be size 9. And Danner had on their website access to this table of all the shoes, and my ASICS shoes are in there. Like the Gel Cumulus 22 model, the model and everything of my shoe was on, it was accessible on the Danner website, so I could select it and say, that's what I buy, that's what I have worn, and it fits me. Now, even though I haven't worn those shoes for long, I know they fit me, but, you know, they fit me well enough to say that's the right size. But on Danner's website, they said size 9 for these boots, except they also added somewhere in there on that page for these boots. These are the Mountain 600 boots, the hiking boots, Mountain 600. Danner. On their website, they said that for these boots, they are sized a little large. So even though they were recommending size 9, they also said buy them a half size smaller. So that suggests to me, if they're telling me that, maybe they mean buy 8.5. But maybe that was already incorporated into their size 9. We don't know, right? They didn't say that. But I decided I couldn't get these in an 8.5 because they were only available in 9 in the black full grain leather on Amazon. I couldn't buy them. I could have bought them from Danner, possibly, but I've never bought from Danner. And it was the same price if I'd bought from Danner, but I never bought from Danner. I don't know what they're going to do with shipping. I bought from Amazon so many times, so I'd rather buy from Amazon. So I ended up buying these from Amazon. If I'd bought the 8.5s, I would have had to get the brown suede leather, which is cheaper, by about $30 or $40, but it's not as good quality. And it's not the color that I wanted. So, I mean, I wanted the black. I'm going to show you I'm going to take them off. But to make these fit, now these have two problems. One is that the heel slips. But when I first slipped onto them, when I first slipped my right foot in to the right one, I thought, yeah, these seem to fit. But they were a bit different from what I expected they would be, in the sense that I thought that the upper was it felt a little bit, I felt that the weight of this part felt a little lightweight to me. Like it didn't feel, but of course it's not a ski boot. So, you know, it's not like, it's a hiking boot. So, you know, but it's good that it's lightweight. Actually, that's the thing. It's lightweight. That's surprising. It's surprisingly lightweight for the actual, you know, for what it is. Like it's nowhere near as, oh, wait a minute. It's lighter than the Merrells. Hang on a second. I thought it was, when I put the Merrells on, I thought they felt light. And they do. So that means these are also very light. So they're very light. That's great. That's fantastic. I didn't realize. That's another thing you might want to be concerned with when you're buying shoes, right, is how heavy are they? You know, but unless you're running marathons, I don't know that weight matters that much. I mean, you might want lightweight if you do a lot of long distance running, or it might matter, you know, lightweight, but you want good support. It's more important for a shoe than the weight, usually you would think. So, but yeah, it depends. I think if you're on your feet all day long, if you're not moving around, just standing at a bench working, then what difference does it make how heavy that your boots are? You want good support. But I don't know. That I can't answer that. Except to say that I don't think weight really makes a big difference. I've never noticed it or thought about it in that way. So that's all I can really say. The Danners are size 9 US. Yep. Just like I ordered. So everything came in beautifully. It's an amazing boot. Like, look at this. It's a good looking boot. It's black, which is good because I can use it as a welding boot, you know, a work boot. I can still protect it, but even if it's not protected, it's not going to get burnt and have it look bad because it gets a black mark because it's black. So maybe, of course, that black is just dye, isn't it? That's not the color of the horse. It's not a horse hide. It's a cow hide, I think. But you can get horse hide boots. I know. See, it's Mountain 600. 4.5-inch heel. That's what it is. 4.5-inch rise, I guess, on the heel. It's black full grain. But it doesn't say if it's horse hide or what. I don't think it's horse hide. I think Viberg makes the horse butt, which is the leather from the rear end of the horse. On some of their boots, they use that. So horse hide is good, evidently, because Vibergs are certainly known for quality. And that's Italian leather, comes from Italy, that horse butt leather. But this, I think, might be, I'm not sure if it's, I guess it's cowhide, though, I'm thinking, but I don't know, though. Wait a minute, is there some way to know that? Would it be horse hide because of its, how smooth it is? I'm trying to think. Is cowhide smooth? I don't know that I've got horsehide mitts that I made for myself out of a horsehide. And they're smooth like this, so this could be horsehide. But I don't really know what cowhide looks like on the other side. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to see if I actually know what cowhide. I know what suede looks like, and that's cowhide. But it's, I think cowhide is not smooth somehow. That's what I think. I think it's sort of, because I've made some cushions for my car that were cowhide, and they had, I also used some pigskin in those cushions as well. I sold them together to make covers for the cushions I had. That's what I made for the car, was cushion covers, but they were, you know, these were cushions that were, you know, they're the same size as what you see, the seat you sit on in the car. They were sizable. And I think that those were cowhide, and but they might have been split cowhide. They might not have been full grain, of course. But I think they were rough on both sides, which means I don't think of a cow as being smooth underneath the fur. You know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But horses evidently are, because they have, because I know that the horse grain or the horse leather I bought is smooth on one side. That's all I know. Now, the other thing, okay, when your heel slips, okay, when you're buying boots, there's two things I want to say. When you're buying a heel that rises, you have to be worried about this part cutting in, biting into your ankle, right? That's, and it might be a problem until you break them in, and then it might be fine. So that's what I thought, because when I tried these on, the left one was biting in. But it's because the tongue has the leather sewn here, sewn into the backing, and it had a bit of a curve to it, and it was sort of curved in, so when I tightened it, it was stiff enough it would cut in. It was cutting into my ankle. But I had to, you know, my heel also was slipping on both boots a little bit of a heel slip or a little bit of a loose fit in the ball of the foot too. But so okay. So these were, worrisome things to have happen. But like Jesus said, worry about today, don't worry about tomorrow. So I had these Triad insoles, company called Triad. And I've had these for years. I used them at one point and then used something else, and these were just lying around. So they're used, but they're still fairly new. So do they smell? No, they're not too bad, but I guess I should put some foot powder in there. Some of my foot powder. I'm going to get some here. Let's see. I'll get the strong stuff. Where is it? Oh, it's out here. It's out here, right? I had it here before because I put the strong foot powder on my feet before I tried these on. So this is the strong foot powder, version 3. I'm going to put some in the shoe, in the boot of each boot, right? Just before I put in the insoles. Just tap a bit into the boot. And then, then I'll just spread it to the end, back and forth, both all around, like side to side. When I get it, I want to put it like upside down. I want to try and get some of the stuff spread around. Is that enough? Well, it's very strong smelling. Yeah, I can smell that. It's not bad to have that in there. I don't know what to do, whether I should sprinkle it. It's not going to stick on to the insole, so I'll just put a little more in here. Just putting you can see I'm just putting a significant amount, but I want to protect these shoes, right, against infestation of bacteria, fungus, and all that. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm committed. These are brand new, but I want to protect them. Okay. That's something I've learned. I learned that the hard way, so I'm not ashamed to, to share what I learned, because it's something very important. You should protect your shoes right from when they're brand new. Okay, so then I put in the insole, which I could sprinkle it with something too, but it doesn't really matter because the boot has got it. So now that insole going in here, it's a very thin insole, but it's in the heel mainly. Now when I tie the boot up, I don't know if I can't show you. Can I slide this down? Let's see, how do I slide it? It's locked, I think. It's not going to be much slower if I unlock it. Where is it? Oh, here it is. It's got a latch. There it is. Okay. Let's see if I can slide that down. Yeah, it slides down. Good. This is the way to do it. Yeah, so. Uh-oh. I don't know what happened. Oh, I know. Okay. I'll put it on a... It doesn't even have to be latched. But if I put this down here, I'm still not going to be able to see it. If I move back, you can see it. Okay. So, basically, I want to tie it in the front. Everything's different. You get a brand new pair of boots, and the laces come... And they're not the same length because they didn't, at the factory, they didn't make them exactly equal. The two ends are not the same length. So that, I don't know if that ever happened before or if that's new. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a new thing. That people nowadays don't take the same care that people used to take. Everything had to be shipped in perfect condition, and more so years ago, I think, maybe. But so I've tied that up. Now I can feel it's got a little bit of a bite on my ankle. But when I tie it, if I tie it tight enough, I found that actually helps to eliminate that. get it a little bit tighter on the ankle, but I think it needs to break in. I think that's a break-in issue. I can work this leather too with my finger. I can fold this back. It's possible to fold it back, and then I don't have to tie it so tight. If I fold it back, you know, it's not. This is real world. The leather, it's real world. It comes from an animal. It's not man-made. That's the other thing. So it's not something that should be, you know, thought of in the same way as a man-made product. So anyway, that's it. There we go. Yeah. See, that feels amazing. Yeah. Considering these are brand new, and right now, these are brand new boots, and right now they feel like, you know, phenomenal comfort. You know, just even though I had to fold that tongue back, you know, I think it's a break-in, or it's either a break-in issue or it's a problem I can solve somehow. Or somehow or other, you know, whether by folding, it's not going to be that doesn't sound like a long-term solution. But as long as it stays in that position, I guess I could even modify it if I had to, but that would not be, I could wear these for years, and I'm sure that leather is going to be softer and supple and more supple everything. It's phenomenal that they fit this well without any break-in. Like, that's unbelievable. I mean, they're really amazing. So, but I did have to put that little bit of an insole in both of them. I need to put the foot powder in the other one. That's it. And I need to put some foot powder in the Merrells. But that's what I need to do now. Because this, even though I put foot powder on my feet, that insole doesn't have foot powder. So I need to put a similar amount, which is quite a bit. I need to put quite a bit of the potent foot powder. It's got the tea tree oil. It's going to kill any fungus. And it has lots of, you know, the black hole powder. Aloe vera, I found out what aloe vera is. It's an antifungicide, antibacterial also. So is the black hole powder. So is the tea tree oil. So is the peppermint. Well, the peppermint, I don't know what it does. I'm sure it kills something. I don't know if it's antifungicide or antibacterial or what. But peppermint, I think, does something similar. I didn't research peppermint. I use peppermint, though, for the toothpaste. The peppermint oil, that's what it is. It's the oil. So, but also the tea tree oil is definitely antifungal. It's the best antifungal and antibacterial that I know of is tea tree oil. And that's in this foot powder. This is my homemade foot powder version 3, which had more. Did that? All that powder disappeared. All that powder has disappeared. Is that true? No, not entirely. Oh, it was pretty. Yeah, there's some loose, a little bit of loose stuff flowing around. That's what you want. You don't want much loose stuff floating around, just a small bit of loose stuff. You don't need a pile of powder in your shoe. You could have, but I don't think that's what we're shooting for at all. We just want to keep the feet dry so we can keep adding more powder every time. Every time it gets completely, you know, dry or without powder, I should say. Yeah. Every time it runs out of powder. That's about all I would recommend, but I don't, yeah. I'm not an expert on powder, maybe I am. But I haven't really researched. I've just used it. So I'm a practical expert, I guess. I'm a functional expert maybe, but I'm not a research expert. Yeah, so that's it. These shoes, these boots are amazing. I'm not going to wear them. I'm going to go back to my sandals. But these are going to be phenomenal. I can now I could hike in the winter to the store in these boots, right? Might want to put some waterproofing on them too. That's a good idea. But I got the Merrells. I can even hike in the Merrells. Neither one of them is Gore-Tex, which I'm very glad of. I'm glad that Merrell makes boots that are not Gore-Tex. Oh, yeah. Let me put the powder in. And, let's see, let's get some powder. Significant amount. Good. It's about like a, it's about a teaspoon maybe of powder. Something like that, yeah. That's what I think. Something like a teaspoon of foot powder is a good amount, so that you can spread it around inside. It's not, it won't leave any piles of powder in the shoe, because it'll spread and stick to all the different surfaces. It won't be excessive in terms of where it sticks, you know, or where it ends up. It won't end up in a pile. That's good. Those marrows are ready to go. That's that one. Oh, I just spilled. How did I spill powder? Wait a minute. Okay. I got powder on my. You know, these pants are like. These pants. These fleece pants that I paid $60 or something for these. They're not fleece. They're down. They're down. So it's more like the animal fleece, I guess, equivalent. It's they're down, like from goose or duck down, in these fleece pants. $60, I think, $65, until they sold out. After I bought them, they sold out, because I think people realized at some point in time that these were a great bargain, like a great buy, great bargain. But the thing is, when they make this coat, the fabric on these pants, it's like Kevlar. Like it's related to Kevlar. It's a relative of Kevlar. It's very much stronger than you think. Very much. Like it's almost bulletproof. Like it's. I mean, I don't mean literally like Kevlar, but you know, it's almost like it. We use in the figurative sense of bulletproof. It's extremely tough. And I'm not going to test it to find out how weak it is, but or how tough it is. But I know that it's probably very strong. So it's an incredible thing. I forget the name of the stuff. It's related to nylon, I think, too, or it's a form of nylon or something, but it's related to Kevlar, like very closely related to Kevlar. So yeah, that's when I got it on my pants, when I tipped it upside down. So yeah, I mean, this works. Well, there it is coming out. Yeah, it comes out of the shoe when I tip it sideways too. That's what's happening. I want to get it on the sides of the shoe, on the inside as well as on the, you know, on both sides. But you have to be careful that you don't have it near the heel when you're doing that. Is that working? That's good. Okay. Yep. Perfect. There's no excess powder in there now. So those shoes are ready to go for, like, you know, a few, I don't know how many times I can wear them before I need to put more powder, but I'll be putting the powder on my feet, so they might go like months or years before I have to put more powder in the shoe itself. It's possible. So that's the kind of thing that I wanted to share, all of the things I do with my shoes. But these are brand new boots. Just got both pairs today, right? The Danner and the Merrells, and I should be pretty thrilled about the fit. I don't know if I am, because I got more deliveries I got to cope with that are coming in soon too. So I can't be too jubilant, you know, or you know, what do you call gloating? I shouldn't be gloating. That's what I mean. What I said before is I still stand by that, because it's the truth. Is the best and the only way to boast is in Jehovah. We boast in Jehovah that He provided this, that the God who created all things created also these boots through the agents that He used to create them, and that we have them. And thanks to the delivery people and the people who sell them and, you know, stock them and ship them and all those people along the way, because they do a great job. FedEx, I missed them yesterday. I was there for them today. They were unexpected at about, well, what time was it? I don't think I kept track of time, but it was definitely after 9 o'clock. I was up about 8, I think. Yeah, I was up at 8, and was, I think it was after 9, but it was more like 10 maybe when they came. It's now 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, yeah, 1 o'clock, 1,300 hours. So, but I've been, I mean, the thing is I couldn't do the video till the Merrills came, and they didn't come till just before I made the video. I tried them on first, and then I said, let's make the video. So I knew what I was going to be able to say at that point. But I also had to try the insoles. So let me talk about insoles, okay, for boots, especially for boots, because you often buy boots that are, they don't always fit in terms of width, and if it's not fitting in terms of width, then it might, the heel might slip. So the insole can help make it fit tighter overall around the instep, right? The instep is the top part of the foot where it meets the leg. If I understand it, that's what the instep is. You wouldn't think that would be the instep, but I think that's what they define it as. But whatever it's called, the words don't really matter, right? I was going to talk about words too. Whether you know any big words is not important. Like whether your feet supinate by turning inwards, or whether they, or sorry, pronate, the opposite of which is supinate by turning outwards. Supinate, turn outwards, which mine do, or whether they pronate by going inwards. Whether you know the words or not, it just helps to know the words, you know, because then you can communicate with other people. But the other thing about words, you can't dream without words. You need words to be able to dream. You know, a word has power, immense power. If you can communicate a goal or a dream that you have, then you have power, you can achieve it. And that's why it's so powerful that the word is the name of Jesus. That the word, meaning logic, this was the name that Jesus had in heaven. This is the thing that Jehovah created. The person Jehovah created first was the Logos. The person called the Logos, or the Word, or wisdom. And the Word, therefore, represents the wisdom, and therefore that enables you to achieve what you're trying to achieve. All your purposes, your goals, your dreams, they're related to words. So words are, they should not be underestimated at all. But that doesn't mean that you need to know big words. It doesn't mean that. But there's nothing different about, I mean, what's the difference? You know, why should size matter with words? You know, it doesn't matter, right? It's not about that. It's not about the size of the word. It's just, why should we discriminate against words because they're big? That's not necessary either. So the words are very powerful and very useful. And reading, it enables us to read. We can use the dictionary if it's a big word. Look it up in the dictionary. We can learn, you know, we can find out what it means. We're not going to remember all these big words, you know, the first time we read them. That's okay. We don't need to know that, because we can use the dictionary again and again and again, and we might learn some new words that were short words that we didn't know. That's the other thing. They might be more useful. They generally are more useful when they're shorter words. I'm totally in agreement with that. But sometimes a big word is necessary in order to be accurate, to help other people understand what you're saying, or it's beneficial. It's not never necessary, I guess, for the big words. It's just potentially beneficial, especially in a field like physiology, where you're trying to, you know, be, if you're talking to a physician, or if you are a physician, you don't have to be a doctor to be a physician. You could be a physician because you want to study the physical body. That, to me, is what a physician is. I mean, that's what must be what it is. It's not like you have to be educated to be a physician, not by some school. It's got to do with using, it's not the same as physics. Physician is totally unrelated to physics. Physics is a discipline of science, and a physician has to do with the body. It's not related except for the word, but it's not thought of as related in English language. It's not, you know, usage. It's not, physician is unrelated to physics, by the way. So yeah, that's something that is known among the more educated people, but it's not that it's wrong to use, you know, to use the word physics in talking about the body. There's certainly physics involved, but it's not, you won't be understood properly if you talk about the body and try to equate physics with physio. You know, physio is not the same as physics. Physics is more about forces and torques and you know, stresses that and strains and of materials. Like physics is about what happens, how a body moves through space based on the forces exerted upon it and things like that, and how it bends based on its strength characteristics, you know, like there's Young's modulus and all sorts of other terms that are used to describe the strength of a material. I'm trying to think whether Young's modulus is a constant term or whether it's actually different for each material. But you can find all these things are part of physics. And that's the materials science part of physics, Young's modulus, and all the strength of materials, like, you know, tensile strength versus shear strength. And there's stress versus strain. Stress is the force you put on, but strain is when the material actually changes in shape, you know, by stretching or bending or whatever. That's strain. And elastic materials, they don't necessarily break, you know. They might bend and then just spring back. They don't have to be a spring to do that, but they, you know, but if you bend something over and over and over, even a spring, it'll eventually break, you know, if you bend it enough. We probably all know that. But physics is very different from physio, because physio is a living thing we're talking about, right? It's so different because it can heal. That's the other thing. And there's nutrition that can be used to modify it by natural means, by, you know, by good means. I mean, I'm not saying what the other thing is. People are interested in the use of substances like drugs, especially pharmaceutical companies are interested in that because they think they might be able to improve the body if they can only discover, you know, the right substance. If they can discover the right chemical and they can patent it and make a fortune on it, by the way. You know, that's the other thing. But as if that's not the main point, which it probably is. But they want to, well, they need to be in existence financially, they have to sustain themselves. So, but the other thing that you could think that, well, maybe it's smart to think this way. And we don't really need to be strongly against that. The point is that the body is so complex. Even if we're only talking about natural substances like in foods and vitamins and minerals, the elements that are naturally used by the body, even if we only talk about those things, the body is so complex that it is almost, but probably is completely beyond our understanding, but at least it's almost beyond our understanding, even like that. So it's far wiser to be humble and to admit that we cannot develop a new substance. That's far wiser, even though it might not be the most exciting thought that first occurs to a person. It's exciting enough to realize and to discover you can use natural foods. It's basically foods we're talking about. Now, these things, we're not using them as a food. We're using them as a topical application on the skin or on the outside of the body to prevent things on the skin. So, but it's marvelous that these are. Now, can we eat tea tree oil? I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think if that's true or not. But it's really good if we can put things on our skin that are healthy for our bodies. Even if we did eat, you know, it's excellent. It's far better if everything we put on our skin is edible. If it's far better, but it's not always necessarily the case. I think that's the direction I'm going to be going in, if I can. I'm heading in that direction. But in the meantime, yeah, I guess I haven't learned enough yet to know. Everyone starts, I'm starting somewhere. You know, you have to start somewhere. and I'm not very experienced with foot powder. This is my first ever discovery of a natural foot powder that I reverse engineered and so on, first ever trial. But this is the extreme version of it, what I'm using there. A lot more tea tree oil and peppermint oil than in the standard version. And I think the standard version is going to turn out to be just fine, the first version that I made. It's just a much milder fragrance that it has. So these, talking about these inserts, these I got from WalkFit. The company's called WalkFit. And they had inserts within the inserts. Like these have, you could take out the insert that's inside the insert. And that way you could put in different arch support inserts. This is the highest arch that they had. And that, it's too high for my foot, this arch. But also, well, I have all the different sizes somewhere in my drawer somewhere, but this was the one that worked the best, even though it was too high. But the other problem was it's not in the right place on my foot, even though I hopefully bought the right size. Look, are these cracked? These are cracked. The heels are cracked. It's a crack in the heel. Two cracks, three cracks, four cracks. And it goes right through the other side. So these aren't much use, actually. But anyway, this could have been a good idea, but it didn't fit my foot. You know, the arch came in the wrong place, too far forward on my foot, I think. But then I had these other ones. These are hard plastic on the bottom of the heel, and they have an arch. They have an arch in them, and it's firm plastic, so it supports the arch. And then it doesn't go all the way to the end of the toe, but it's a partial. It's a partial insole, partial. It's a full arch support, but partial insole. And then, you know, now if you're wearing winter boots, you can wear these kinds of things, which are like a half inch thick felt, just solid felt cutouts. You know, that could be useful in winter boots. And then something else I really think is good. I've only got one of these. These are air cushion insoles of some, I think they call it air pillow or something, but the writing is worn off. But it's rubber and you cut it to fit. And it's very, very beautiful, springy rubber. I've got only one of these left. I should have another one, but I don't. I have pairs of these in some of my boots. I've got a pair of these, or used to have. I think I still do, though, where the heel is so cushioned. Such a beautiful, soft rubber. Yeah, it's just great. So if you're doing a lot of walking or standing around, they're fantastic. There's no arch support in those. And this was what came in my Red Wing boots, I believe. No, these are Merrells. It's air cushion Merrell. Now this is not the air cushion. This is just the insole. So I must have. I put those rubber ones in my Merrells. I took these. These are the Merrells from my boots, my old boots. These are the old boot Merrell inserts. You can take the insert out. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You can take the insert in the boot out, and it's the same with the Danners. I could take the insert in the boot out of the boot. I don't want to modify the boot. If I can just add a thin insole, then that's the way I want to go. But if you need to put a better insole or a thicker one in there, you can take out the existing insert that's in the boot. That's right. So that's about everything I know, I think, about boots. And then, now some boots may not have a removable, they may not have a removable insert, but most of them, I think it might be safe to say that most of them do, but if they don't. They just have to use a thinner insert if you're going to insert something. So that's what you've got. You've got a lot of possibilities for inserts as well to deal with the slipping of the heel. There's not much you can do if they're not comfortable in the tongue. Not much that I know of. There's not much. You have to buy the right shoes. That's where faith comes in. If you don't believe in God, then it's just random. or it's just, you know, you call it chance and all these things, luck, you know, you call it those things only if you don't believe in God. If you believe in God, then God somehow could find a way to get the shoes manufactured that are going to fit my feet, get them to the store where I buy them, get them from the store to the shipping department and then to the delivery people and get them to my house, and they could fit. That's possible, right? Because God could do all those things. That's the idea. There's no requirement for any other additional concept. Just God and the creations that God made, the humans that he created, and whatever other things that were the animals that God created that could provide the leather and all that. All the different things that were provided that could enable it to arrive at my house and to fit me. That's the other thing. He also had to create a sizing system where I could understand the sizing, or I could learn, or I could, you know, that I can do the calculations and figure out my shoe size and all that. And provide the internet with the research. I mean, all that had to be provided by somebody. So that's where God simplifies it. It's all described by one thing, God. One concept is described by that, or explained. I mean, all those concepts, all those things are explained by one concept, which is one person. The concept is a person, Jehovah. That's the concept. That one concept describes everything that happened. We don't need the other things to, you know, we don't need to get into all the details in order to describe what happened. It's Jehovah. He did it. So, you know, that's a simpler explanation. And if we want to go into it more, he is the personification of love. That's who he is. So that would explain why it could fit. If God is love, then it just follows. It's logical, and Jesus is logic too, right? But it follows logically that the shoes would fit because Jehovah's love. And guess what? I can't imagine a better fit for full green leather boots the first day. Like, that's pretty amazing. But they're Danners, and they got Vibram soles. That's the other thing. They both have Vibram soles on them. That yellow sticker, that yellow thing is Vibram. Yeah. Vibram. And that's the same on the boots. Vibram. Yeah, right. And I don't know if they're the best. They could be the best of all the soles in the world that we know about. Danner uses them on all their boots. I've seen that Viberg uses them on at least some of their boots. They have Vibram soles on some of them. So I know they're pretty good based on that, because Viberg boots cost about $1,000. And then Merrell's pretty well known for, you know, making hiking boots for people who actually do climb and things like that. It's important, right, to have good soles, good traction. So Vibrams, we know they're good. So that's another thing, is what is you going to have the soles made of, right? And that sort of thing. So anyway, that's it. Pretty, you know what it is? I'm excited because I'm not excited. In other words, if they didn't fit, I'd be really excited in a bad way. But I because I'm just calm and relaxed because they fit, I just relax. The shoes get put on the boot shelf or somewhere in the closet waiting to be used. And I'm calm and I'm relaxed, and there's no more to say or think about it for a while. Unless I want to, you know. And I could get into it more. But if I get up and walk. Yeah, these Danners, look, they're not even bugging me right now. But I folded the tongue back, though, on the corner, just so it doesn't bite in. But that works. You know, it's a workaround. It's a little less than ideal. I don't know what else you could expect, you know, or how much more a person could expect for a leather boot that's not broken in yet. So, I mean, these are really super comfortable. But I happen to have a few extra insoles lying around the house, right? I need to order some more insoles. That's another thing. That's the next thing I got to do is try and get some. If I can get, maybe I need to buy some partial, order some partials and insoles and some full insoles. But you see, that would be a huge shopping. So the only other thing I want to talk about is how did I learn all these things I know about shoes, right? Recently, I learned something. And I learned it because I bought two pairs of sandals, one made by Chaco. These are not Chaco. These are an Israeli company called Naot. Naot sandals. Those are my oldest sandals. And then I have two pairs of orthopedic sandals that were some other company that I wear for working right now that are old, but not as old as those. I don't believe they are as old as those. Well, anyway, they're both very old. All those two and this pair are old, but the new ones are Chaco and Oboz. And they're hiking kind of, hiking quality kind of sandals, very good quality. But I got them on sale because they were like clearance sale or something. So I saved a lot of money because sandals can cost $200, you know, easily. But these were, both of them were like, they're either on sale because they're going out or because they weren't popular. So they didn't fit everybody or something, right? So I decided to buy them. Both of these pairs I chose because they were discounted and they actually are both usable. But the Chacos are, I think, the ones that are my really, my dress sandals. I save them for when I want to look absolutely the best, that I don't wear them for anything else other than for going to the store or something like that. And the other ones are, I glued some insoles onto them because they weren't comfortable, or it was, yeah, they weren't comfortable on my feet, on the surface of them. They were not, they were just too flat or something, or they weren't cushioned enough. That's what it was. I guess they weren't cushiony enough. They were hard. So I glued some insoles onto them, and that works fine. I've been wearing those, but I don't wear them right now. I'm saving those, you know, right now I'm wearing these all the time. So I'll swap those with these. I'll alternate those and these if I need to. There's always something else to mention. The other thing is I've got this spray that I got from the foot doctor, and you can spray it into a bag and put your sandals or your shoes in or boots in the bag. With the spray, you spray it in, spray the spray into your boots and into your sandal, on your sandals, in your boots, and you seal it all up in a bag for 24 hours. That kills all the fungus, and then you can start fresh, right? So that I've got it. I think it's right here. Here it is. Here it is. Yeah. So that's this stuff. It's called Mycomist fungicidal from Gordon Laboratories, but I don't know. Probably there's other stuff that would be similar. This is fungicidal, so it destroys the foot fungus that leads to athlete's foot, but also that causes the odor. All the fungus that causes the problems with feet, different kinds of fungi, whatever the pronunciation is. So it smells just like a very fresh smell. Doesn't smell like anything terribly, you know, deadly, but I wouldn't try to eat that. I wouldn't. It's the same with all these things like tea tree oil. Don't leave your children near, don't leave it accessible to small children with any of these things, because they could be very hazardous to their health. They're not used properly, right? Like foot powder is not edible. You don't want to leave that near children, and you don't want to do and leave any of this near children, but I can leave it anywhere because I don't have children. Okay. You know, I mean, if I get children, a lot of things will have to change around here, that's for sure. But anyway, but for now, I can just leave stuff everywhere. Doesn't matter. So that's it. That's basically everything I know about feet that I can think of right now. Anyway, so I want to do the Bible reading, but I'll do that from my other computer camera. And this is Ward Green, 1332 hours by my watch. It's October 27th, 2022. I love you. Bye for now.